So you can only cover so much on studying in a few minutes. So what I've tried to do here is more or less pull together resources and tips and strategies that others have done so that you can then go from this meeting to other more in-depth places for research. And I don't have any conflicts to disclose as well. So I thought I'd start first with what is the actual test environment. I often think of testing like running a marathon. You prepare for it, you get into a groove, you get into a rhythm, and so it's useful to know what is the race going to be like. How many of you have had to take graduate, like GREs or what have you, on computers already? All right. So if you have, it's very similar to that context. You're in a proctored exam setting. It's very formal. You check in a locker where you put your things. You can't even bring a snack in, et cetera. But it's all there to make sure everyone is doing it the same and there's no cheating, et cetera. But it's a very quiet environment. The testing site I had headphones so that you're in a queue, but you can really concentrate. And it's 200 items, as we've heard, and it takes about 4.5 hours to complete. Doesn't mean you're taking the test extensively for 4.5 hours. It includes about a 15-minute tutorial just to make sure you're familiar with the computer system, how it's set up, et cetera. And you have the ability to take breaks in between the individual modules. So if you need to just clear your mind, if you need to use the restroom, et cetera. So it's not like you're sitting there extensively 4.5 hours there. Now, what I found very interesting, my major and interest area is epidemiology, and we do a lot of math calculations. So I found it very interesting. In this test, you're not doing any high-level math. In fact, all you get is this little whiteboard, which is like a little wipe-off thing if you have on your door with a little marker, as opposed to a pen. There's no calculators. So when you kind of think about mentally preparing, they're really testing your understanding of concepts as opposed to you scratching out a lot of extensive math equations. I think that is useful to know as well. So what does the exam cover? Well, the exam is very well linked with what are the core competencies for having a degree in public health, or emphasis there. So if you've had an MPH, these are very in line with what you've already learned and studied as part of that program. So there's five core areas: biostatistics, environmental health, epidemiology, health policy, and social and behavioral sciences. Now, that is the core knowledge areas, but as Molly was mentioning, there's cross-cutting areas that we should also know that go across these areas, such as communication, diversity, leadership, professionalism, systems thinking, et cetera. But I think if you've gone through a program where you have those traditional training things, you've already learned much of the core elements. And really the strategy for testing is to brush up and to use the guides to say, okay, did my program cover all of the content? And there may be areas I need to go a little bit more in depth or not. But it's not like you're learning brand new content. So these are resources that you can go to if you want to find out what the schools of public health consider MPH competency set. You can go to this site and you have the model, and it's more in depth as to what they consider for each one of those core areas, what might be learning objectives. There's also sample exam and tutorial module, so 18 sample questions. This is all free. And you can download a sample of the tutorial module Mac. It's not Mac compatible, it's more PC compatible, but it will give you a sense of what the actual screen looks like, what the flow of it is, and how the types of questions are set up, in terms of multiple choice and other kinds of exam question styles, if you will. I think this is very useful. It gives you an overview, but I would highly recommend that it's well worth purchasing some of the other resources. If you've made the investment for the exam, you probably want to make the investment for the exam prep materials. And they're not that expensive. So I'll be going through briefly. There's a CPH study guide. This is what I used. There's a CPH exam quick reference review that's now in the second edition. I took the test in 2008, and as I looked at materials to prepare for this, they've certainly been updating and refreshing them and making them even better. There's also a other resources through Public Health Training Center Network and other foundations. And then there's just, we all as public health professionals, the social networks of us as graduates of different programs, and I'll mention a little bit of that. So the CPH study guide is about $40. You can purchase it online. It gives you information, as I mentioned, about the exam itself, different strategies and tips. And the way I used it is that it has a more extensive practice test. When I took it, it had sort of vocabulary words and concepts that I needed to make sure I went through and understood. If there was terms there I weren't familiar with, I would then look them up. They had an extensive reading list of what was considered seminal works in the area in terms of textbooks or articles that you would want to make sure you've been exposed to and had some knowledge of. But what I found personally helpful, and it's the way I like to study, is to do practice tests. I would do the practice exam, see what I scored, and that would give me a sense of where do I stand overall, and am I meeting the bar or not. And that helped me gauge certain areas I wanted to study more and others I didn't. There's also this reference review guide that's $70, and this one has been used by several on the panel here, and they found it very useful. It allows you to do a review of they have a review of the core competencies, not just lists of vocabulary words and concepts, but more of a mini review. It gives you vignettes that illustrate the applications of these concepts, and it's probably more graphical in its presentation of learning. So the previous book was very much, here's a list of information, but it wasn't things you need to know as opposed to trying to teach you those things. This one goes a little bit further and is helping refresh your memory. And again, it has practice exams. I think the interactive flashcards for anyone who likes to study like that. My daughter just had to study for SAT, and I know the flashcards were very useful for her. And it has glossary and web links. So I think this would also be a good investment as well. So various schools of public, if you're wanting to get up to date on, gee, I haven't had epidemiology in a while, or I haven't had biostatistics in a while, what is type 1 error? What is type 2 error? There are available online sources that many universities have. I just have here the Johns Hopkins one that has an open course site where you can go there and get slides that come from the courses that are being taught there. You don't have access to the faculty, but you have access to the content. And it's really a free resource. So some people have studied and mentioned that that's what they used. There's other free resources as well. Public Health Foundation, they have this Train National, and there are courses available there. Think of it as sort of a continuing education site. You can search there based on topics. Some of the coursework is free, and some of it is a fee-based or small fee. I just pulled out here what were some examples in terms of biostatistics kinds of classes in epidemiology. And again, you can go there, and that's another way to get refreshed. Another resource that some have used is go to your alma mater. I know I'm at the Colorado School of Public Health, and now that we have students that are able to do the test, there are natural study groups that form. Different schools may encourage or support that, and so you should find out where you live, if there's one nearby you that perhaps as a graduate or as someone in the field could be able to piggyback onto some of those kinds of study sessions in which people as a group go through the concepts. And listed here are the various sites of the accredited schools and programs. So, you know, those are available resources. I found it very helpful. I found that for me, when I took the practice exam and when I look at my actual score, they're very much in line. So I felt it was a good use of money to use those resources for myself. But everyone studies differently. So the last few slides are more what have others said about tips and strategies that were successful for them. I think the first thing to remember is that this is graded pass-fail, all right? So the majority of people are passing, 70-80% of those that are taking the test. It's geared to make sure that we all have baseline knowledge of what it means to be a practitioner in public health. And so if we've gone through that training, we can assume that we probably were exposed to that. And this is just a way to certify your knowledge and sort of refresh. I think also it's, as I would agree, a commitment to the continuing education process, that by studying for this and continuing to stay, your CE credits, if you will, you're making a continued adult learning. And that's really the way that the test is phrased. It's not trying to weed people out. It's trying to make sure we all have common knowledge. So what do I need to study? What do people say? Well, some have said, I didn't study for this test because I've completed my program and I felt good about my program, and so I just took it after I graduated. But if a person has the time, I would recommend it. I used my experience to answer the question. So some have asked, I haven't done my degree recently. Is that a big problem? Well, actually, you're probably learning a lot on the field that many people that have studied concepts just, you know, I found many of the questions were things I had already learned, not because of my degree program, but just being exposed in the workforce and dealing with these kinds of questions. As I said, so some have said your public health degree has already provided you with the core competencies that are being asked. And just refresh your memory, and you'll be ready to go. And then others have said, unless you're a recent graduate, you absolutely do need to study. So you need to have your own self-assessment of where you feel you are when you look at those core competencies on the for the MPH and on the site. Do you feel comfortable with those? And that will gauge to what degree you need to study. The question is, what should I study? So I've shared some materials with you. As I said, the test doesn't cover the detailed intricacies of quantitative analysis. It covers the information you should know, the core competencies. What is a p-value? How do you interpret it? You know, it's not going to ask you to, calculate a chi-square test or anything like that. So it's useful to keep that in mind. As I mentioned, for others as well, the CPH reference book has been very helpful. The flashcards, the terminology were great refreshers. It's all been prepackaged for you. Others have found other materials also useful, not for learning, but more or less for relearning or refreshing the subject matter. And this particular person said, for areas that you really feel you need to, you don't remember or you need to brush up more, they recommend using free online course material from Hopkins, but any of those other sources could be available. Some folks have come up to me as a faculty member in a school of public health and say, so what do you recommend I read or I learn? I try to direct them back to what are the MPH competencies that, you know, keep you grounded. But there are, use your network. So then the last question I'll touch on is, how long should I study? And again, I think everyone, you've gotten to this point, you've passed many tests in your life, you know how you, as an individual, like to study and how you don't. Some people like the pressure of having the test tomorrow and they cram the last week, and that's the way people, prepare. Others are on the other extreme in which you don't want to take a test unless you are extremely prepared. And you have some folks who said, I had a month of serious study, and then I studied an hour or two every night and the weekends before, so I was very confident going into the test. And many are somewhere in between, and this is probably where I fell. You know, I studied casually using the test materials, going through the practice exam, and then more intensively in the week or so before the test. So really there is no magic answer. You have to know how you like to study and what motivates you. But I would say that the materials that are out there are of value and are of use, and I don't feel are too expensive relative to the preparation. So I think that was the last I had, and we'll go on to the next.